back. Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, no Lante today. Load management, we were off the last 2 days, so he's tired.
He's tired from watching Cardinals baseball on his couch the last 2 days. He did watch Andrew Tay as
I'm just giving him. I'm just giving him heck. He's got a game tonight. So glad the weather cleared it up. We had some rain, some snow, and it's time to get to the spring sunny weather that we all deserve. And it's April, by the way, so let's get there.
Your average Illinois weather pattern, it was warmer in February than it is in April currently.
Isn't that nuts? I bet my wife that it was going to snow in March, which I apparently lost. I think we got flurries at one point, but it was like nothing. And then there were like snowflakes coming down. Was that yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
And I was like, I should win. She's like, it's April. You lost. So I should have just said spring instead of March. But that's either here nor there. So we got plenty to talk about today. We got some baseball action. If you're listening right now at 5, disregard. But as of right now, Cubs 6, Dodgers 5, bottom of the 5th there at Wrigley Field. I know Dansby Swanson went yard, but then Shohei Ohtani has hit a two-run bomb to
the top of the Dodgers lineup. Is unbelievable. Oh,
it's a nightmare, isn't it? Mookie Betts is he the best player in baseball right now?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, we're 7 games into the year, but he's the front runner for MVP.
Well, the fact that he even made the MVP close last year with Acuña, like the start that Acuña had, that he went 40-70. And then Mookie actually made it a vote at the end of it, said the type of year that he had. There was a little bit of slippage once he went from Boston to L.A. It was like, is he worth all that money? I mean, he was a star in Boston and won a World Series, but now it's like he is on a very, very short list of studs in baseball and just as good as anybody at the plate there is right now.
It goes Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, then Will Smith, who is probably the best hitting catcher in the league. Uh-huh. Max Muncy hits like 35 bombs a year. He hits 5th.
Teoscar Hernandez, they signed.
He's a power hitter.
Type.
James Outman, the young guy who seems to kill the Cubs every year. I know he's up and down normally, but it's unbelievable. And
you can get, once you get to Jason Hayward at like hitting 8th, you can breathe for half a second.
Yeah. Although they somehow turned him into a good hitter last year, because that makes sense. Wow. So I'd be happy if the Cubs can just grab one of the 3 this weekend, avoid getting swept, keep themselves over 500. But they got a chance to win this first one, but they're going to see the top of that lineup again. And I'd just pencil in at least a run scoring when you go through that order.
It felt like, now I didn't watch every game, but in watching the Cardinals against the Dodgers, especially opening day, it felt like all that the Cardinals had success getting out was 7, 8, 9. And then you circle back up to the top and Mookie killed him, Freddie Freeman killed him. Somehow Ohtani didn't destroy them in that series, but you're in for murderer's row. I know that obviously was used for the Yankees back in the day, but they got a true modern-day murderer's row there at the Dodgers. The Cardinals played yesterday, comeback win against the Marlins. They're off today, back in action tomorrow. Lance Lynn struck out 7 or 8, but then he got tuned up for a couple of home runs. I know Jake Berger hit 2, the St. Louis native. Josh Bell hit 1. But Gorman had a big hit to drive in a couple of runs. And that was a comeback win for the Birds on a day when I hated to see it, Kyle. Hated to see and hear that John Mozeliak got vehemently blued on opening day when he was announced. It was what distasteful stuff. That's not the Cardinals' way there in St. Louis.
Why even announce him? You know exactly what's coming. just stick with the manager and players. I mean, I don't think the Cubs introduced Jed Hoyer, even though he probably wouldn't get booed. But I don't know. I think you should know how that response is going
to
be.
Yeah, but I mean, they do it every year. It comes with the territory. He's highly compensated to be able to take some heat. And I saw somebody on Twitter say, like, he has a family in St. Louis. He has put his life into this career that he's – like, come on, man. Like,
go sign a pitcher.
And then, yeah, then you won't exactly. Get booed. Yeah, jeez. Come on. Anyways, let me do this before we move on. We're going to talk plenty of hoops today. We got the Final Four coming up tomorrow. Is it inevitable Purdue versus UConn? I think everybody would be fine with sitting down late at night on Monday night, checking that one out. Edie against Klingon, and obviously a really good backcourt battle between those two squads. Can NC State Cinderella story of this year say anything about that? Can Alabama on the other side against UConn put up a fight and make sure that this will be the first time in the last 2 years that anyone has finished, let alone within single digits, would they actually get it done and knock them off? We'll talk about that. Talk about some transfer portal, of course, as the world spins another day. Actually, it's been another few days because we haven't been on since Tuesday. Got some things to update you on as far as Illini basketball, transfer portal in general, and some, I think one thing I want to touch on is there's going to be some player meetings, as there always are, the exit meetings, the off-season meetings, end-of-season meetings, I should say, for Illini basketball next week. So I thought a topic that Kyle and I could tackle is kind of power ranking. If you could pick who you'd want to stay the most of the players set to return, kind of how that works itself out in our minds, how it works out for those on the text line, 217-359-2255. I definitely want to get to that before we get through today's show. But let's stick on baseball for a second because we haven't talked a ton of it. And I'm admittedly, even though I'm a little lukewarm on the Cardinals in general, just excited to be back to watching some baseball. How in are you on the Cubs? Are you all the way in? Have you convinced yourself, like, playoff team, going to be a fun ride? Where are you at with your Cubbies? I don't probably need to ask White Sox fans where they're at. Cardinals fans, we can talk about it. But how about the Cubs fans out there and for yourself?
In a normal situation, I probably wouldn't be all that in. I still think this is a okay roster that can probably win 85 games maybe. But the thing is the NL Central is so wide open that I almost have no choice but to kind of get all in, because I think there's a real shot for the Cubs to win the division, as there is for the Cardinals, as there is for the Reds. I mean, honestly, wouldn't shock me with almost anybody winning this division. I'd probably be a little surprised if the Brewers did, but they find a way to do it every year.
6-1 Pirates, watch out.
I know, and they do that every year, right? They're the best team in baseball, and then they go like 60-90 the rest of the year. But, I mean, it's a Cubs roster that, like, are they going to go on a World Series run? They're not quite there yet. Are they going to compete for the NL pennant? No. But I do think they have a good chance to win the NL Central. I think on paper, if they were fully healthy, which, of course, they aren't, although I know every team in the division is dealing with that, but fully healthy, I think the Cubs would probably be the slight favorite to win the division. I don't know if you would disagree with that. So I think to just build on last year and with how disappointing the ending was last year when they had such a hot August and early September and then completely collapsed out of a playoff spot, I'm in on this team trying to make a run and get into the playoffs. I just want a playoff game at Wrigley Field for the first time since 2017. Or I guess they had a wild card series with no fans in the stands in 2020. That doesn't count. So a real playoff game or series, wild card, whatever it is, at Wrigley, I think that's on the table this year, especially in this division. So in that sense, I'm in on that goal. But I still think, obviously, a year or two away from being a true, like, World Series, let's try to make a run at this whole thing type of roster.
Obviously, it's really early, but I mentioned the Pirates leading the NL Central right now. They're 6-1. They got Baltimore this weekend. The Brewers 6-1 as well. They're hosting Seattle this weekend as far as their series slate. The Cubs off to a start against the Dodgers, still 6-5, top six right now. They're 4-2. Reds 4-2. They're hosting the Mets. Cardinals 4-4.
How about both the Cubs and Cardinals just getting a brutal start to the season?
Right.
Cardinals get what? They had the Dodgers and then the Padres, and I think there's a couple other tougher series coming up. The Cubs go at the reigning World Series champs. They do get the Rockies in between, but now they got the Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks.
Ooh.
I mean, could we get I guess I shouldn't complain because they did hand us a Rockies series at Wrigley, but, like, that's a little difficult.
Yeah, you're right. I should know this, but after this Marlins series, the Cardinals host the Phillies, then go to Arizona.
Yeah, I know. This is unbelievable.
Jeez. I mean, I'm here for some matchups that I like. And I do appreciate the balancing of the schedules just to see some of those other teams more frequently and get some fresh matchups. Like, it gets old when you face the Pirates 35 times in a season. I mean, I'm here for more Cardinals-Cubs as it used to be. It's almost a little disappointing. I mean, it is, not even almost, to know that, is it what, late May, the first time the Cardinals and Cubs will see each other?
Is that right? I haven't even checked that. That's a shame. There should be a should have like one Cubs Cardinals series every month.
Protected rivalries.
With the now that it's what, 13 games against each division team, it used to be 19. I guess you have four series against each team, but you got to sprinkle in a little Cubs Cardinals like once every month or so. And I think this was similar last year where it took forever for the Cubs and Cardinals to play.
I think that's right. May 24th through the 26th, that's a weekend series in St. Louis. That's the first time they will square up. The first time they go to Wrigley is the 14th through the 16th of June. So,
wow.
Got a little ways to go before the Cardinals and Cubbies square off there. Has there been significant, or I should say, clarity of news on Justin Steele? He had what, like a little bit of a hamstring tweak or something?
Hamstring strain of some sort. Yeah, it looked bad live. So honestly, I guess with hamstrings for pitchers, it's a good case that they expect him to miss like a month. I think what counsel said was he'll miss all of April. The goal is to get him back the beginning of May, hopefully send him out on a rehab like the last week of April. So it seems like it's pretty minor. They did show him, it was either Wednesday's broadcast or Tuesday, where he was playing some light catch out in the outfield before the game. So it feels like it's relatively minor on the scale of hamstring injuries, where you see some of these can knock guys out, especially pitchers, for like 2-3 months. Hopefully it's only going to be a 4 or 5 week injury. But still, like the least expendable guy on the entire Cubs roster is probably Justin Steele,
right?
Because this rotation is – there's depth to it. You have a lot of options. There's arms to throw out there and take innings, but are they going to be quality innings? That's the question.
Hey, as long as you're eating
Justin
innings,
Steele,
it doesn't matter about the quality, right?
Justin Steele was the one guy that you could count on every fifth day to be put your team in a position to win, and now the Cubs are going to have to survive without him. So that one did hurt, but hopefully he'll be back relatively soon.
You riding high with Imanaga?
We'll see. He gets the Dodgers lineup on Sunday, so we'll see. We'll see. It's not the Rockies anymore, but he looked pretty impressive. I mean, 9 strikeouts. He's got some really good stuff. The stuff is going to play, but the question will be, you know, he'll probably have some ups and downs as a lot of these Japanese guys do in their first year.
Kodai Senga had last year.
Yep. I mean, if you give me a Kodai Senga rookie season, I'll sign up right now.
No doubt. No doubt. I'm with you, though. I would have forecasted the Cubs going into the year probably to be the with getting Bellinger back, pushed it over the edge for me to be the division favorite. Definitely, I think
it's close, though.
It is close. I don't know why the Brewers just – they can dish off Hader. They can dish off – who else have they gotten rid of recently?
Corbin Burns,
yeah, that guy. And they're still – I mean,
Woodruff
it's early.
For the season.
It's early.
Devin Williams hurt for like 3 months.
They just win.
But they – yeah.
They just win like 80-some games every year.
And no counsel anymore. I mean, did the Cubs get fooled that it's just the Brewers voodoo and not him?
I don't know about that.
No, I'm happy with him.
But Freddie Peralta is really good still at the front of the rotation.
I think they're going to kind of fall off and be a sub-500 team when it's all said and done.
But I've said that for years.
But, yeah, their lineup hasn't necessarily blown you away, even in these division champ teams. It's been their pitching has been so good, but now you lose your closer, you lose your top two starters. Like, I'd be stunned if they could find a way to piece together another 88-win season this year. Reds are the interesting one.
I know.
The Reds are the interesting one. They've dealt with a ton of injuries. I shouldn't complain about one player getting hurt. The Reds have like 8 injuries right now. But the question for them is always going to be, can their young pitchers start to break through, right?
Exactly. Is Hunter Green going to be an ace for them, a front of the rotation type of guy, someone that's got just electric velocity, number one, but has tended to give up a ton of bombs, and they need like Nick Lodolo to come back healthy as a starting pitcher, one of their young prospects who flashed a little bit early on last year, another high velocity swing and miss type of pitcher from the left side with him. Can he get it done? Frankie Montas, early indications have been like that's been a good signing. Look, we're like a week or so into the season. I'm not trying to have any too big of grand takeaways, but it's a lineup that's got a lot of exciting young talent. Spencer Steer, obviously Ellie De La Cruz, on down the line. They got a lot of bats, but do they have the pitching? That's the question. And then you got the Cardinals. I mean, my expectations are so tempered, so I'm not like feeling like I'm going to ride the wave too much early. I want to be given a reason to be excited. Of course, I'm going to complain a lot if they stay at the bottom of this division and dip under 500 and stay there for a while. But, I mean, I've been encouraged by Lance Lynn. Kyle Gibson had a really nice start in San Diego. Not great from Zach Thompson. I mean, obviously he's starting because of the Sonny Gray injury. But the rotation's okay at best. Miles Michaelis is not very good. That's not surprising to me. A little concerning about Nolan Arenado. Hasn't really looked like the same dude of late. I mean, you look at late last year, had some back issues, didn't do a whole lot in spring training, and then has come out slow out of the gates this year. I know he had a double yesterday. That was a big one that drove in a run as the Cardinals took about the lead. But the power has really seemed to kind of evaporate for him. And we're dealing with a lot of, or I wouldn't say a lot, but a handful of young guys right now who I like. I mean, I like Victor Scott, a lot of speed. It's kind of that old school. He had a really cool line about he's trying to be the modern day Vince Coleman and bring that X factor on the base path. And Mason Winn, from a defensive standpoint, I'm not saying he's going to be Ozzie Smith, but Victor was kind of making that comp a little bit and saying that, you know, he's going to try to bring that elite defense. Can he hit well enough, though? Jordan Walker's got to take the next step. And there's just – I'm frustrated by there's the amount of questions, I think, with the Cardinals. And, look, I'm excited for this season. There's some guys that I'm really looking forward to watching. I mean, Jordan Walker, anytime that he's at the plate, I'm locked in, dialed in. I like the meat of the order still with Goldie, and I'll hold out hope for Nato. And Contreras has hit some – I think twice going deep center in San Diego in that second series, I'm not out on him from a hitting standpoint, and I'm actually one of those that pushed back on all the noise around him as a defensive catcher last year. It's like, hey, you kind of knew what you're going to get. I don't think he's that bad. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes with the Cardinals.
Encouraging start, though, to get out of that first two West Coast series and one big blown lead on Sunday against the Dodgers from being over 500.
That's true.
In those two series, and you win against the Marlins with the Cardinals are pretty injured too, right? You got what? Tommy Edmonds hurt.
Edmonds hurt. Nootbaar's hurt.
Nootbaar, that's the other one. And obviously Sonny Gray.
So yep.
Pretty encouraging start for the Cardinals, I would say. I think it's going to be a toss-up in this division to me because I think the Cardinals are going to be better. I think the Cubs will probably be similar to what they were last year, maybe a little bit better. I think the Reds will be a little bit better, assuming their pitchers can come along a little bit. I honestly think the Pirates will be a little bit better, and the Brewers will probably hang around. I just don't know what to make. This division's getting one team in the playoffs to me. I think this is a bunch of mediocre baseball teams that have the potential to be above average, not anything special. And so it's going to be a fun race that I think will come down to September of – maybe three teams for one playoff spot because I think the wild card is going to be pretty occupied by the East and West. I think this is a one playoff team division, but I think it should be a pretty fun race.
Yeah, you got to deal with the Braves and Phillies, obviously, in the East, and the Dodgers, the D-backs, the Padres. We'll see as far as the Giants go. They've gotten off to a slow start, but obviously they went out and spent some money this year. But
Ian Happ, two-run triple. Cubbies up 8-5.
Oh, boy.
But here, due up next inning, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts.
Boy.
So we'll see if that holds.
Are they going to get to – are they so unlikable? You know, we had the Miami Heat with LeBron and Wade and Bosch. It's different in baseball, I think. But the idea of, like – for me in the offseason when another player goes to the Dodgers, especially when we heard, like, you know, Shohei's deferring all this money or
– yeah, the deferred money part, like – heightens it for me. Like they think they can cheat the system and build a super team by deferring Ohtani's contract to 2090. Like, come on.
It's ridiculous.
If you're just gonna be a team, it's annoying, but if you're gonna be a team in LA that says we're gonna spend like crazy and we're gonna buck up and pay Shohei Ohtani and pay Yamamoto and pay Freddie Freeman, whatever it is, then that's fine. I mean that's a flaw in baseball's system, but when you're going to try to get all cute with it and think you're smarter than the system and say, well, we're going to actually only pay Ohtani $1 million a season, insane. And then pay him $60 million in 2038, then I'm like, all right, enemy number one.
Yeah, you're game in the system.
Yeah,
you're not banging on trash cans, but
frustrates me for sure.
Yeah,
and of course now there's rumors. I don't know if you've seen, but there's another Japanese starter who's a stud. I think it's
Roki Sasaki,
yeah. And he's like already a Dodger.
No, he's supposed to be maybe the best one of them all.
I know.
Well, not better than Ohtani, but as right. a pitch, like a pure pitcher, like he's got crazy.
He's going to sign
fastball.
He's going to sign probably for slightly more than Yamamoto signed for. And according to some report, he's like pretty much already a Dodger. No. So it's just going to get worse.
This is too much.
And they just signed Will Smith to like a really team friendly 10-year extension or whatever. They're not going to go anywhere for a while.
I kind of actually think it's probably more like maybe the Golden State Warriors. A little, although the Warriors were like such a new. Like the Dodgers have won for a long time, so there's always been kind of that connotation of
it's similar though. Player. Just like the rich get richer. The Warriors already went 73-9, and now they're getting Kevin Durant.
Right.
The Dodgers already win 100 games a year. Now they're getting Ohtani and every Japanese pitcher and signing everybody. Still,
I make the Warriors comp because all the guys like a Steph, a Clay. A KD, just in general, they're so fun to watch as individual players, but then it wears you out of just the repetitiveness of them, you know, being in the finals and you want something fresh and different. Now the Dodgers have to do it themselves to get to the World Series. I know they've been there what twice, maybe in the last 6 years. Did they win one?
They won
Kershaw
the COVID
got
year.
One run. Yeah, okay, they won the COVID.
So they really haven't won a real one yet.
All right,
in a long time, enough.
Like the old Mickey Mouse finals that LeBron won, right?
The thing is baseball is truly like not a real because you played a 60-game season and then you played like a weird playoff format. So baseball, I actually feel like that one is not quite as the NBA bubble and college basketball. All those, I think, you had pretty much real seasons and real postseasons.
Yeah,
baseball,
right.
You had a completely different season. Baseball's supposed to be the 162 game grind,
that's right?
And that season was just a joke. You had random. You had players that are out of the league now hit like 350 over those 60 games. Like that season was pathetic.
Remember, you had COVID positive Justin Turner get pulled mid game. And then, like, running back onto the field afterwards, like, oh, no.
Yeah, he was posing for pictures with the World Series trophy after he had left the game with COVID.
It's hard to want to stay away. Anyways, if you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line and Link text line. We'll get to your text as we go along. We're going to transition to some basketball. We'll talk some portal. We'll talk Illinois player meetings at the end of the season. What Kyle and I think are the most important pieces to keep, and I want to get to your text as well. We've already had a few of you weigh in on that. We'll continue to field some of those. Of the players that could return, who do you want to see most back in an Illini uniform? Of course, there's a lot of spots to be had for Illinois as they piece this thing together, losing the likes of Terrence Shannon. We assume Marcus Damask. We assume Coleman Hawkins, Quincy Guerrier, Justin Harmon, and so on and so forth. But before we talk some basketball, let me do a little work. Let me tell you about Busey. If you're on the go over spring break, or even if you just got back, bank on your schedule with Busey's mobile app and MoneyPass, two ways Busey makes your banking hassle-free. With over 37,000 ATMs nationwide, there's plenty of locations, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Florida, to find MoneyPass where you can go check out their ATMs. No need to sign up, no fee to participate. As long as you have a Busey debit card, you have your MoneyPass. Take advantage of the savings and locate a MoneyPass ATM near you. Look for the MoneyPass logo or visit hours and locations at busey.com. You're also going to want their mobile app to view balances, transfer funds, pay your bills, pay a person, deposit checks directly from your mobile device. Other banking tools, Busey eBank, eStatements, Busey Bill Pay, all at your fingertips. For surcharge-free ATMs in the Busey mobile app and beyond, Busey keeps you connected to all your accounts from coast to coast. Visit Busey.com. Busey, member FDIC.
Frankie at the gym says, "Do you even lift, bro?" Frankie at the Champaign County Humane Society doesn't care how much you lift. He just wants to lay on the couch with you and watch reruns of The Office. Carol in accounting will probably judge you for heating up your leftovers in the office microwave and stinking up the entire break room. Carol at the Champaign County Humane Society doesn't care what you eat, just as long as you scratch that one spot right under her chin. Carol the cat and Frankie the dog are just a few of the adoptable pets looking for their forever homes at the Champaign County Humane Society. They won't judge you for the food you eat or your workout routine. They just want to shower you with all the love they have to give. As the only open admission animal shelter in our area, the Champaign County Humane Society takes in any animal despite their age or medical condition. Learn more about adopting a pet, volunteering your time, and donating to the cause at cuhumane.org. The Champaign County Humane Society, where your new best friend is waiting.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at kelseyfurniture.com. That's kelseyfurniture.com.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and...
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Hi, it's Wes from Lands Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Our mission at Lands is to provide top-tier service, prioritize our customers with upfront pricing, and maintain exceptional communication. We assure you at Lands we will only recommend what you truly need, from regular maintenance on your home's mechanical systems with the Lands Comfort Family to replacement of existing equipment. Right now, Lands is offering up to $1,500 off qualifying Trane heating and cooling systems, and combining it with utility companies' rebates and potential tax credits, now would be a great time to consider updating your HVAC system. Come visit us with questions at the Central Illinois Home and Garden Show in Mahomet and April 6th and 7th, or visit us at landsinc.com.
Get ready. Logic Community is having an open house, an epic open house, Monday, April 1st from 11 to 4. But there's more. From the 1st to the 5th, you can come in at Logic Community and have a free day of workspace free. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to join the Logic Community family. Mark your calendars, April 1st to the open house, and April 1st to the 5th, come work for a day for free. Logic Community, where minds meet and ideas ignite. See you there. Go to Logic, L-O-D-G. GIC.work.
When Ross went out, I always told him, be careful. And that was the last time I got to see him.
Because someone didn't slow down and move over. Ross had on a bright orange shirt with reflective stripes the night he was killed.
He always had that smile. He just lit up the room when he came in.
Slow down and move over. When you see flashing lights, everybody is somebody, somebody.
When you see lights flashing, use caution passing. Let's all go home safe tonight.
Thank you for choosing Two Men in a Truck. How may I help you?
Hey, we're moving, and I have a strange situation here. We need to be out of our house by 10 a.m., but our closing on the new house isn't until 1 p.m. Is that something you guys do?
That's not strange at all. Two Men in a Truck has completed over 9 million moves. We have a solution for that.
Not sure how your move is going to work? Go to twomeninatruck.com to start your free estimate.
twomeninatruck.com. Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Quick update for you. It is 9-5 Cubs, top of the seventh there at Wrigley Field. A sunny Wrigley Field, as we were talking about off the air.
Looks like a beautiful day until you see all the coats and hats that are on the people. But
if you're sitting in the shade, you're not probably as toasty unless you've had a bunch of old style.
Big improvement from earlier this week when they were playing in snow against the Rockies.
I was just telling you that I would turn that game on, and I guess you just got to get the games in if you can, but I was a little surprised they just played it. Like, it wasn't like there were puddles on the field or anything.
No, but there were a lot of like sloppy defensive plays, and infield was wet, and it was just a constant precipitation of, it was like a, wasn't rain or snow, it was like a mix of both. So it seemed like a terrible night. And there was like 400 people in the stands too.
Was the Little League home run by Christopher Morel, right?
That was
that
Monday.
Weather induced?
That wasn't
that
weather
just
induced. That was just Rockies induced. That's the thing. It's hard to differentiate in a series like that when the Rockies make like 15 errors out on the field. If you want to cut them a pass and be like, well, I'd look at the weather out. Or if you're just like, well, they'd do that anyway. They're the Colorado Rockies. Feel bad for Chris Bryant. Saw him. He had a couple hits on Wednesday night. Finally, it was his first two hits of the year, but he's like 2-for-21. And throughout the length of that contract, he's going to be winning 60 games a year.
Jeez. That's brutal. I mean, he got paid.
Yeah, I mean, like he'll do all that while making $25 million a year or whatever. But still, I feel bad because
I get it.
Cubs legend. 2016 MVP, and he's now irrelevant. I mean, no one even
it's true
knows
he's so out of mind,
isn't
he?
That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, no one even thinks about him anymore. A, because he's dealt with injuries and he isn't all that good anymore, but B, because no one cares about the Colorado Rockies. That was a really confusing destination. I mean, when he was a free agent, and I think it was 2021 offseason, so heading into 2022, he was coming off like, you know, he wasn't 2016 MVP caliber, but he was still a really good player, good hitter. And he signed that contract with the Rockies, and I remember that. I'm like, the Rockies, really? And Baez signs at the Tigers, and that's gone horribly. And I'm like, man, these guys really, other than Anthony Rizzo, those guys are just completely irrelevant now.
It was weird because right after... So the Bryant signing came right after the Rockies dished Arenado.
Right.
So there was all the talk of, well, I know Arenado was upset because they weren't being competitive, but there was talk of would they want to pay him or just get that contract off their books and whatnot. But I think the underlying stuff was Arenado didn't want to be there long term, but still, like, got rid of him, didn't get a whole lot back, and then like gave the same amount of money to Chris Bryant. So it was like, what lane are you trying to pick here? Now, their lane is the worst team in baseball outside of the Oakland A's, who are pretty firmly in that driver's seat. But both those teams, boy, I know the Tigers have gotten better, but Javi Baez, probably mostly for his own doing, is highly irrelevant as well.
Awful. Yeah, he's been just absolutely terrible ever since he signed with the Tigers. That's the other thing, too, is like a guy like Baez really feeds off that big market energy and spotlight and just one of those electrifying type of players that you can tell when it's a sold out Wrigley Field, he's going to show up and put on a show, and no one cares when you're on the Tigers. I thought that was a terrible fit for him, and sure enough, it feels like he doesn't care anymore either. So that just feel bad.
I know this is like the social media Twitter thing, but you know the handshake, you know, like the when two sides are like doing the same thing. Is this the Curbelo at Southern Miss? Baez in Detroit playing for the Tigers. And
that's not a bad comparison.
Andre Curbelo playing for Southern Miss.
It is. It's not a bad comparison. A guy that was so exciting when he was good and showed so much potential, and then something flipped and it's all gone downhill, and now he's at a spot that no one even remembers he exists anymore. It's not a bad comparison.
Yeah.
No lead is safe against this freaking Dodger team, man. It's already 9-7 now.
Who just hit that double? I couldn't see it.
It was
know.
A single.
Oh, okay.
Is that Teoscar Hernandez?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it was 9-5 in the seventh with two outs, and it didn't feel safe. And now, of course, I think they're like sixth in the order. So ninth inning, we'll get another Betts, Ohtani, Freeman go around. Great. Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, it's just so – it warms my heart to see baseball back on TV.
Oh, me too.
I'm not saying that – yeah, maybe a little bit of basketball burnout at the end for me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll take the tournament as much as I can get of it anytime. The weird part of it is when you're covering one destination, it's hard to like see all the games of the other places. But we'll talk about that next hour as far as the Final Four. And I'll be completely tuned up for that championship game if we do get UConn and Purdue, because I think that will be a fabulous matchup. But let's talk some Illini basketball. I know people
itching, are probably dying for it.
People always itching Wade on the U of I Atlantic text line. Let's get to it, because let's throw Wade one, loyal listener, always hitting us up on the text line. Here, and we have a guard. Does Toledo ? Otega away ? Okay, so on the note of a guard from Toledo, that'd be Dante Maddox. That one is not done by any means. I would say that Illinois is in a strong spot at this point. And he told me yesterday, I reported this on a lot of Inquirer yesterday, but I'm fine with sharing it now, that he will visit Illinois after the dead period. So next week, you got a dead period right now with a lot of coaches, pretty much almost the entire coaching fraternity. I know not every coach goes out there, but there are a lot of coaching conventions and just – it's a big get-together out of the Final Four, so a lot of people out there in Phoenix. It's a dead period right now, which means no in-person contact with recruits and transfers. That's on your campus or off-campus as well. You can still have Zooms and phone calls and that kind of stuff, and the Illinois staff has been active and constant in doing that. But Dante Maddox was a off-guard with Ray J. Dennis 2 years ago. This year he was their point guard for the Rockets and shot the three really, really well. I think he's a 40% three-point shooter. He's from the state of Illinois. I know you got his profile pulled up right now. What's his hometown listed as?
Chicago Heights.
Okay. Yep, Chicago Heights. A guy that doesn't have a lot of size. He's kind of 6'1", 6'2", I think. 15 a game, but really, really good shooter. And I've talked to some people, and if you look at his stats at Toledo versus like Lance Jones's his last year at SIU, they're kind of comparable. I would say that obviously Maddox, his 3-point shooting efficiency is far higher. And I know that, look, I mean, Jones is in a perfect situation, so much attention on Edie, so it's kind of hard to make that comp. But just in terms of translating to the Big Ten, I think he could do pretty well. Now, one thing with Brad you wonder about is kind of like size positionally outside of point guard. Would he be okay with playing like a two guard at 6'2", and how that would look like? But Illinois has made him a priority. Louisville's made him a priority. TCU, who just had an in-home visit with him, was it in-home or it was on campus? It was one of the two earlier this week, has obviously made him a priority as well. So you're kind of in a fight for that one, but I think Illinois is in a decent to good spot and wanting him pretty badly. So Marcus Hill's another guy from the state, Bowling Green guard, that I think they're in a position where if they really want to push it, can go and get him. But I think that one is they're still kind of waiting it out and seeing if they want to make that move or not.
You would have to imagine they're not going to take two smaller MAC guards.
I wouldn't think.
It's probably a choice between the two.
I would imagine that's the case, yeah. I would imagine that's the case. Now, there is a question of like who's going to play point guard next year.
Right.
And Marcus Hill, I think, is more of the natural on-ball guy, someone that can really get to the rim. I mean, he's explosive. He scored 20 a game at Bowling Green last year. Just doesn't shoot it very well, which I think when you have Ty, when you have Merez, we've had this conversation a lot, that's a big question. They prefer, I think, as far as I can tell, they're pushing harder for Dante Maddox right now. And there's more competition as far as that goes. But I do agree with that assessment of would they take both Hill and Maddox? I'd probably say no. Otega Away was a priority target for Illinois out of high school. Chester Frazier recruited him. He went to Oklahoma ultimately. Strong, athletic, wing type. I think he's in the realm of an AJ Store, not at that level. Like, Store's more proven, more of a bigger scorer, and Illinois definitely needs that in the absence of Terrence Shannon Jr. But I think if they didn't get Store, away's a big-time option as well. And I don't know if they would end up taking both. I think that Illinois would be fine probably in terms of like making it work with both, but I don't know that, you know, like if Illinois gets Store, would Away want to come? I'd probably say no, but I do know that Chester's been checking in with him once again, and that Illinois feels like if they make a good push for Away, they would have a pretty decent shot on that. So that's where that is at.
I kind of view Maddox as like an improve or like an upgrade to Justin Harmon from this year.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he wants a guarantee of a bigger role than that, but to me, a guy that can come off the bench and make shots, like a guy that shot 41% from three or close to 41% on like 5.6 threes a game last year, 45% 2 years ago, a guy's just going to make shots. And I think off the bench as a guard who can just come in and give you a little bit of a spark and kind of just play that Justin Harmon role from this year with probably a little bit more scoring punch and upside. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a good fit. And I think for Illinois, a team that you look at a lot of the guys they have returning, and there's a lot of question marks from three, a team that improved a lot this year from three but is losing almost all of their trustworthy shooters other than Luke Goody from last year's team, like a guy that's just going to come in and you can trust to make shots for you, I think would be a good fit on this team. I don't know how comfortable I'd be with him in like a featured role. I think at this level, he feels like more of a sixth man, spark plug, scoring upside type of guy. But I don't know if that's something that he's looking for, is to be more of a featured starting guard. I guess he looks like a useful player at the Big Ten. I just don't know how big of a role you would want to pitch him on.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. You do have to always be delicate with how you approach these things, but I think one of the things that Illinois, not that they were doing it in a different way previously, but they've liked to be honest. And I think that's one thing they would tell you that worked in the portal this past year, is being honest with guys and what they expected their roles to be. So there wasn't over-promising. There wasn't, when they recruited guys, they could see the reaction to, you know, Quincy Guerrier come in and rebound, make some threes. We're not going to play on the wing like Oregon tried to do. We're not going to tell you're an NBA wing. You're a four who's going to be mixing it up in the paint, who's going to be stepping out and shooting some threes. You're a role piece that's going to try to help us to win. I think Harmon, obviously that was voiced that you're maybe not going to be a starter, that you're going to have to play a smaller role if you want to be a part of winning, and maybe buy in a little bit more defensively and to hustle plays than scoring like you were at Utah Valley. Now, obviously, Damask played a huge role, but I think that being on the same page with transfers as far as what that looks like. Now, Maddox is coming from a situation where he shot, what's his field goal attempts per game? I mean, it's got to be up there 14, 15, 16?
11 and a half.
All right, that's not as much as I thought. So he's efficient, obviously. If he's scoring 15 a game and shooting that percentage from three, 12 shots a game, that's feasible. I think that one thing, though, you don't want to limit yourself. Like, I don't know. Now, Matt Painter would know this, and I don't. Did they sell Lance Jones on being a starter? How did they approach that?
I would doubt it.
Right, and he turned into exactly what they needed and a really, really nice piece. Now, did Illinois sell Marcus Damask on, we're going to run our offense through you, buddy?
I don't think so.
Probably not. So you got to leave yourself some wiggle room, because there are guys that will surprise you and show you more than you would have expected, or you just out of necessity need that out of people.
I think that's where you'd rather have that happen, where you're projecting a guy to be in a certain role and all of a sudden he works his way upward, than over-promising and committing to a guy that all of a sudden, you know, your starting shooting guard just isn't cut out to play at the Big Ten. Like, that's sure. Where I get concerned. Not to say that I don't think Maddox could, but it's just a guy that, I don't know, I feel like probably not like you're a top three option on a team that you want to build for next year.
No, I get that. And as far as underselling versus overselling, like you could tell, and I think you did tell Sky Clark he was going to be your starting point guard, and there was one game he didn't start, and then he was off campus.
He'll be in Champaign next year or Illinois.
Bring it on, man. I'm ready for
that. I hope UCLA Illinois is on the schedule here in Champaign. I want to see that.
He will.
That lineup for a rude introduction will be a fun one.
Yeah, that will be a fun game, to say the least. If AJ Storr is in a Illini uniform going to Bucky Badger Town, that would be another one
This is college basketball for you. We've got the professional like revenge game,
unbelievable
return games.
It's really crazy. It's almost like high school-esque, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
there are times where someone moves out of a district or whatnot and goes to a different high school. I mean, there are people. I'm from Champaign. There were guys that would be on Central and then go to Centennial, and like you'd have that. Like, you would never ever see someone from the Big Ten. Like, it was so rare. I would ask Lon here. I think it was Luke Recker went from Indiana to Iowa. Of course, you had Jared Utoff, who went from Wisconsin to Iowa, and Bo Ryan. Like, there was a rule within about transferring in conference. You needed an approval from the previous place. Bo Ryan didn't approve it, so Utoff had to go to Iowa for a year, sit out, and pay his own way. And now we're just like, you can transfer as many times as you want. Go play for four schools in the Big Ten if you want to. Try it.
If you don't get your way, just sue the NCAA and you're good.
Yeah, no doubt. It's crazy. It's crazy. But, I mean – let me phrase it to you this way. Storr, we know, is a big-time A-list priority, right? So if Illinois were to get him, if Illinois were to get a big man, whether that be a five or a stretch four, maybe they need both. That would be interesting how they approach that with Merez coming back, Merez coming in, with Monty coming back. The point guard is a big question mark. Like, I think if Kylan Boswell goes in, then into the portal, then it makes a lot of sense. If he doesn't, then what is your option? So that's one thing I think you're wondering about with, like, a Dante Maddox. As of right now, you can't really tell him he wouldn't be a starter because he'd be in competition with DGL, with Ty.
I don't think you want Dante Maddox as your point guard,
though. No, you wouldn't tell him that. I wouldn't want to tell him that.
And I've always said that my ideal scenario for next year is to get me a fifth-year COVID senior point guard for 1 year, and then hopefully a combination of Jace Butler or Dre Gibbs Lawhorn can take over the next year. But if it's a guy like Kylan Boswell, I'd definitely make an exception for that, for sure, guy with that type of talent. But I want a true point guard this offseason. I hope that for as good as Illinois' offense was this year, it's going to be really hard to have another Terrence Shannon and another Marcus Damask to cover up your lack of a point guard. And I think you need to go get what you couldn't get last offseason. And that might be another waiting game where it might be another Ray J. Dennis type of guy enters later. Because I don't know if there's necessarily a name that you would have in mind that's an older point guard that would even be on their radar. But there's still a lot of time. I hope that by offseason's end, it's a true point guard that you feel good about as a starter, if that's even realistic. I think that's important.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the staff, in having some conversations with people around the program, would tell you that, especially if they don't get Marcus Damask back, and they can't just hold their breath on that. Knowing how the NCAA works, how are you going to know, number one, when that ruling's going to come? And I don't know how you could have confidence that it's going to go in your direction. Like, you could have hope.
You got to operate like it's not happening. And then if all of a sudden it happens, then you got too many pieces and you figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, that's the better alternative than being caught expecting one and then be empty handed. So I don't know realistically like how long that process will go. You would hope not terribly long, because
this is the NCAA we're talking about.
They don't care. Yeah, exactly. They don't.
It'll happen in October of next year.
Yeah, jeez.
Two nights before opening night. Yeah, oh, Damask is back, guys.
Hey, perfect. But we already have a point guard. He's mad. I don't know how this is going to work. But to your point, I don't have a ton of. I think right now the point guard to my knowledge, especially in terms of people that Illinois is connected to, it feels like the point guard pool is pretty shallow right now, but it's still early. I mean, May 1st is the last day to get in the portal, and it's April 5th. We got a long ways to go. We got a long ways to go. So whether that's – someone told me recently, they're like, people are sitting at their spot right now because they're waiting on another NIL check. Like, that's just how it's going in college basketball. Like, them waiting maybe a few more weeks is the difference between them getting one more NIL check or not. So stay patient. Don't freak out if there's not enough options out there right now. We'll see. But if I was Illinois, I'd worry about Store being the Ray J. Dennis of this year.
You need to go get a stud. A star caliber player that needs to be priority number one. And so if that's AJ Store, that's AJ Store.
Yeah. And I think to that point though, like I would worry about him having all the leverage to where he waits it out and you kind of got to be at the mercy of him. Maybe Brad would say we can't do that again. And we got to like Otego away. If we can get him now and Store says, I'm not going to decide till after I go through the draft process and let the auction go all the way through the bidding war of Kentucky, how close to a million you're going to get? Illinois, Kansas, anybody else that want to jump into the ring? If that's what's going to be the determining factor, I'm not saying that it is, but I know the NIL ask is very, very high. That's what I would worry about. Although for reasons we've already explained through the week and ever since this came on the radar, like Illinois has a lot of reasons why Store would make sense for coming to Champaign.
Real quick before we hit a break, anything to note on front court options for Illinois? I know one guy that – I don't know if you want to share this on the air.
Yeah.
One guy that they potentially would be having a Zoom meeting with here today? Yeah. Is that today?
Today, yeah. Kerry Booth, son of Calvin Booth, who, of course, played in the NBA, I believe Kentucky as well. He played at Notre Dame this past year as a freshman, former four-star target in the 2023 class. So as a freshman, went to Notre Dame, a young freshman. He's still only 18 years old, doesn't turn 19 till this summer. 6'10", a stretch four. I know he's got size of a potential five, but he's kind of slender. And I think that as you look at his skill set in comparison to Merez, kind of like he does, his weaknesses are what Merez's strengths are. Like his weaknesses are physicality, rebounding, scoring in the paint through contact. Like those are all things that Merez does really, really well. Booth wants to play more on the perimeter, can handle it some, can shoot it. Didn't shoot like a crazy good percentage from three this year, but thought to be a future pro for future NBA draft pick, just kind of young still and needs some development. So that's an option on the younger side. Of course, Illinois is also looking at some older guys like Danny Wolf out of Yale, like Raynaud out of Stanford, who's a potential transfer seven-footer. And there's some others as well. You know, Xavier Amos out of Northern Illinois is a in-state product that is on the move, and he's 6'8", shoots the three. Someone that they're very interested in is a stretch four. So there are a number of options. But, yeah, Kerry Booth was a guy they Zoomed with here recently. And the dude from Evansville, Ben Humrichis, if I'm saying that correct, former NAIA. It reminds me of the Riley Minix from Morehead State. Was that NAIA, then went to a smaller D1 type. But he goes to Evansville, 6'8", shoots the three really well. I think he's like a 43% three-point shooter and can play four, small ball five. Illinois likes him. He's not like the sexiest name out there in the portal, but he's someone that they look at as a floor spacer and kind of complements, like, if Merez or whoever we get at the five is like athleticism, rebounding, can this guy bring shooting? So we'll talk more about options as we go along. We never got to the game of who would you like to keep, so we'll do that next, and then we'll talk Final Four before we get out of here. If you want to weigh in, you can, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. This is The Drive.